Five, four, three, two, one. Welcome to Conspiracy Beer Me. I am Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith.
And I am Sam Mazzani. How you guys doing?
Yeah, yes. What a week.
Boy, we are didn't all die as we predicted last week. So it's good to be here for episode number 70, I believe.
All right.
That is correct.
Double digits.
And in this episode, we are going to look at some of the most dangerous social media applications in the world.
Oh, shit.
And maybe why you should delete them off your
Ancestry.com.
Watching about.
Might have a racist family.
How you guys doing?
Doing pretty well. I'm hosting this weekend, which is, you know, it's a little interesting to be doing back, did a little comedy, probably, you know, just trying to get out of there alive.
There are outdoor shows in New York almost every day now. And now, now we're all getting, all my friends are getting jealous about people getting booked on shows and
on shows.
It's like things are back to normal.
Yeah. I know. Let the undercutting begin.
It sucks because it's like, I don't know, there's 25%. That's probably generous. There's probably like 15 to 20% of the amount of shows that are back. So my friends are like, let's go hang out at these shows and try to get on. And like, I'm new to the scene in New York. So that's kind of how I have to get in. But my thing is like, I'm going to show up to this rooftop show that has 35 comics hanging out trying to get one of the two guest spots. I'm like, I have no chance. Nobody even knows who I am. I'm like, listen, I know that there's 15 other more qualified comics that you know about here, but I'm funnier than them, and I'd love to get on. And they're like, why don't you just jump off this roof? I love that. I'm like, you know what? I thought about it, and I might.
Yeah, well, that's how it's going to be with all comedy now. It's like, no one's getting feature spots unless you know the guy. Like, you're not – hosting is the best all of us will get. At any point in the future,
I turned 28.
Oh yeah, happy birthday!
I
decided that I am going to be quitting stand up.
Good, me too.
And I will be buying a lobster boat in May.
Nice.
Which leads me to my next thing. If you would like, we've had some people try to reach out to get on our Patreon, and I guess it's hard to find. It should be just searchable, but. Easier than that, it should be in the description for every podcast. Every podcast has a link to the Patreon in there. We had some people, somebody just signed up. We really
Joshua Hostetler. Joshua Hostetler, super fan.
I don't know if he wanted us to say that.
Maybe we can beep his name. Okay. His address.
He loves us, man.
I think his name is listed on the, you know, his name is
on his page.
He's commented on our social media page.
Yeah, so thanks, man.
He loves supporting his favorite podcast. So thanks, Joshua.
Cool.
I'll be honest with you guys. We're having an uptick. People are viewing the podcast, listening to it.
Apparently, if you add your podcast to podcast hosting sites, you get more listeners. Who knew? I did it last week.
We're trying to stay, you know, non-commercial though, guys.
So. But I know a lot of you guys really like the podcast, and we really appreciate that. But it really goes a long way if you tell somebody about it, if you share it, tell someone your favorite episode. Just any bit helps. It really is. We're really trying to make this thing stick. I mean, it sticks. We've been doing it for a year.
Yeah.
But you know, we want it to be popular, and we know that you guys really like it, and. I know sometimes some of the content on this is kind of tough to recommend to people, but I'm sure if you like it, you've probably got friends that have a similar sense of humor.
Absolutely.
And then recommend it to those people. Then tell them to recommend it to people that are like them. Don't recommend it to your boss. That's probably a bad idea.
Probably not. Don't recommend it to our boss. We don't want to get fired.
Exactly. But if you do like the show, it really goes a long way. Sharing your favorite episode, telling someone to give it a listen. That would be huge for us.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And our Patreon, currently, obviously, we have no real prizes other than you being an awesome person to be on our Patreon.
We'll update it.
Autographed photos. I think
autographed photos.
Can we make that a regular thing? Someone requested it, and we will do it. But preferably not like to. We don't live near each other anymore. So it's very cumbersome. They have to mail it to me, and then I have to mail it to
rough.
You. And what will happen is they'll mail it to me, and then I won't mail it to anybody.
It's basically just a petri dish for coronavirus.
Oh, absolutely.
We're all going to breathe on it.
Yeah. My wife was like, you know what you should do? You should just put your dicks in ink and then put it on the picture. And I was like, Why are you telling me this? You're supposed to be a good person.
She sounds like a guest spot coming for your wife.
Dude, she's hilarious. I would love to have her on.
Yeah.
Check out conspiracybeerme.com. We have merch. If you have any ideas for merch that you want to see, we will make it for you. We use a company that allows us to upload anything. They don't do koozies, surprisingly. You would think this podcast would have koozies for sale. Not yet.
Well, we'll tell you what, if our current website page becomes inundated with requests to purchase merch, we'll move to another platform to facilitate our
new
line of merch.
Currently I'm in the hole on this website. So if we can make it to be
I'll buy a hat.
Oh, perfect. Well, no, it costs money to host, a store.
So buying a hat doesn't help.
I'm
afraid to buy a hat because, I'm not even kidding. I'm like legit a 7 7/8
Is that a bit? That's big. Sounds big, right?
It's huge. They don't go higher than 8.
That's a major league. It's a major league hat.
So like whenever I have to buy fitted hats because 9 times out of 10,
you max out the snapback?
I'll max out a snapback. No problem.
Punching your own hole in the snap.
Yeah. Heather bought me a hat that had an adjustable leather strap and it fit. But like the plastic strap ones, I don't fit in the standard.
You're just ripping through them. Yeah. That's an embarrassing trait.
Yeah.
I know I know people think that like my hairline's receding because of my forehead, and it's not that. It's just my head is huge and there's just so much distance between. It's that my forehead, my hairline has been about this. It's my head is enormous.
Wow.
People think I have a big head, but I don't. So
this mic is actually 12 inches long. Before we get into TikTok, I wanted to talk TikTok. I wanted to talk about NASCAR, dude.
Oh yeah, that was wild.
Are you guys following this?
Yeah.
So
Bubba Wallace. First off, shocked that NASCAR is trying to get rid of a major component of NASCAR, which is racism. It's good for them, but it seems weird. It seems like it seemed integral to the sport.
Yeah, it's like Daisy Duke and the Duke Boys or the General Lee. Oh, they're gonna have to cancel the General Lee now. Anyway,
they're gonna blur
that's
it
a good
out.
Car.
I think I know what happened. So I don't know if you know what the Bubba Wallace thing is. NASCAR banned the Confederate flag. Good move. Bubba Wallace, prominent black. Prominent in that he's the only black guy.
I think he's pretty much the only. I just think he's the one that's relevant in terms of he's really good and he's prominent.
And his car can jump the highest.
Jesus Christ!
All right. No, but he was like the one who pushed for that, which is good. I mean, like I don't know, Confederate flag is stupid. But then they found a noose in his garage. And then they said they didn't find a noose. It was a garage hook.
Yeah, it was like a pole. A rope to pull the garage door down.
Yeah, it was.
But then they showed a picture of it, and it's clearly a small noose.
Definitely a noose.
yes. And then the FBI said it wasn't an issue because it had been there.
For years.
Since November,
but,
at least.
But then when they were like, this is how all the garages are. And then they said, actually, no other garage is like this. And there's like 6,000 garages.
Who had the garage before? That Here's racist dude happened. That quit?
Here's what I think happened.
Okay.
I think somebody was trying to kill themselves and got walked in on and was thinking fast on their feet. They're like, whoa, Michael, what are you doing? I found this hate crime in here. we gotta do something about this because it's a hate crime, and that's why I'm crying right now. I'm crying because I'm so upset about this hate crime. Don't read that note.
Yeah, what are those marks on your neck?
Don't read that note. That's my note. That's my note. That's the note. Don't read that. We gotta report this. This is a hate crime. I also gotta go to the bathroom and throw up a bunch of these Tylenol pills I just swallowed.
Unrelated.
I hurt my head, and I took too many Tylenol. That's what I think happened.
So it was a guy that was sad. The guy that was sad.
Racist.
Confederate flag was taken away, and he's like, "I can't live like this."
That's even funny. It's like, I hate this.
This is my heritage.
I spent all my all my shirts have this flag on it. You know how much money it's going to cost to replace this?
You want me to walk around naked?
It's not even about the change in culture. It's really just a fiscal thing for me at this point.
I got a caved in chest.
The worst reasons, the worst reasons to stay a racist.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Like, body image.
I hear you on this Confederate stuff, but I own a lot of the, like, who's going to rebuy shirts from me?
Yeah. Most shirts you don't sell, you send to third world countries. Nobody's going to want these.
You can't send that to them.
You can't send these.
It shows up in a box to Africa with all the losing Super Bowl teams.
Like, exactly. It's like, what is
that? One of my favorite stories.
Good, dude, that's a good point. Because there's probably all this Confederate stuff.
Yeah, they're going to lose a lot of money.
No, they just send it off country. They're just like, there's a village somewhere wearing.
That's what I'm saying. So there's just going to be like some village in Africa that just has like a don't tread on me.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're like, I don't know. What the fuck is this?
Yeah, what is it?
Yeah.
Damn, that's hilarious.
That's how symbols get. I mean, like, as the swastika was at one point not a symbol connected to the Nazis. It just got appropriated.
They're like, this is cool.
Yeah, so you're basically saying that like Indians had this good luck symbol on a bunch of T-shirts they couldn't use after
they sent it to Germany.
Yeah, so they sent it to Germany. Like,
this could work.
Yeah, or they printed them backwards accidentally, and they're like, "We can't use these. Send them to Germany."
Oh, that's a misprint.
The little kids.
Like, he likes these very much. This is good.
One of my favorite local comedy stories is that there's a local comedian who fancies himself kind of a punk rocker. So he wears a denim vest with like lots of buttons on it. And one of them was an anti-swastika button. So it was a circle with a swastika and a black line through it. But as it aged, the black line faded. And people were like, hey, man, what's that? He's like, oh, it's not. It's anti-Nazi. And it's like, yeah, but it's a swastika on his thing. So
that's good. Hilarious.
I like that's a funny long con if you're a Nazi.
Exactly.
You make these like it's like they – it's you print it with like UV ink.
Yeah. So well, actually, anything that's – disappears. Well, red usually fades. That's why posters at Blockbusters turn blue.
Okay.
Yeah, so certain inks react different. Yeah, so yeah, I like
that.
Well,
guys, that's my Bubba Wallace bit. Hopefully stand-up will return soon, and I'll be able to do that on stage.
Yeah, when it will be relevant.
Damn, I was laughing about that. Like, I don't know if I could do this bit on the podcast, actually. I was laughing about a guy who was protesting. Never mind. I'm not going to do this.
Okay. Yeah, you don't like to edit. So if you don't think it's good, better not.
Well, look, we got lots to talk about today.
All right, let's get to it.
And it's an important one. So follow us on social media. Jump on our subreddit, r/conspiracybeerme, and get in on this.
Just wondering what it was going
to
be.
What that bit was. Join our Patreon, and Sam will leave that bit on your voicemail.
Okay. So what it was a guy. It was a guy who went to the protest, but doesn't know how to protest right. So he's like, instead of screaming "all cops are pigs or bastards," he's screaming "all cops are the R word," and and everybody's like, "Hey,
whoa,
he's like, what? Whoa. I'm trying to, trying to support the cause.
I'm fighting the good fight."
I like, and then he keeps rotating through slurs you're not allowed to say.
That's but a funny like, bit.
I think it's funny, but
I think it'd be a good sketch.
It'd be a good sketch. You could do it with just bleeping it out.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to say that.
Like, all cops are
whoa, hey. Like,
what? You're gonna tell me how to protest right?
Well, all right, there it is. If you'd like that on your voicemail,
if you like it on your voicemail,
you can clip it out of the podcast.
Patreon.
Clip that out, set that as your ringtone, and then lose your job.
Okay, so social media, as we know it, is ubiquitous in our culture today. Mm-hmm. In some sense, I don't know if you guys would agree with this, but I was trying to think whether I thought this was true. It might be the most powerful thing in our world.
More than Jesus?
Yeah, for sure.
More powerful, like, in what way?
Well,
like, if I was going to drop a weapon on a country,
I'm saying that in terms of like the daily lives of people, it has more influence in shaping ideas and transmitting information. It connects us in ways that nothing else does. Like, whoever controls social media is, in some sense, some of the most powerful people in the world.
I'd agree. I'd say maybe so. I think social media has probably fundamentally changed the way our minds work.
Yeah, it has no boundaries. It's not governed by one country. It's an interesting force. And
I spent my formative years being called gay
on the internet
and on the internet.
Yeah.
For And I'm sure that that has made some sort of mental effect on me. I'm sure that has left some long-lasting scars somewhere deep in my brain.
Yeah. Well, and I guess as you can expect, anything that's that powerful can also be used for all sorts of awful things. And
like
over the years,
repeatedly on Halo 2.
There you go. So there's all sorts of
my voice hadn't dropped yet.
Nefarious things going on. And like one of them that's it's kind of easy to jump into this with is like Facebook. There's all these like Facebook challenges that kind of make the rounds. And you know, you guys know what I'm talking about. Sometimes they're like things like
the ice bucket challenge.
Yeah.
That was
good for ALS.
No, that's not the ones I'm talking about. I'm talking about ones where they're like, your porn star name is street that you grew up on and your dog.
Your social security number.
Post the picture of you 10 years ago.
So there's things like that.
Your porn star name is the color that matches to whatever picture your driver's license you post is. Whatever color the paper that your birth certificate is printed on. Please post both of those.
Yeah, so these challenges ask you to like identify your birth sign, your birth month, your high school mascots. There's all these things that like they keep asking you for
security questions, essentially.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what. And then finally, like the police
were
like,
"Who's your favorite pet?
The name of your first pet. Elementary school you went to. And
right. The first concert you ever gave going to. Like, that's, yeah. So it's
Weird. Where have they been asked this question before? Yeah. Anyway, here you go. Internet.
Yeah. And you see this with like long
Where's
lists.
All my money?
Yeah. Well, that's what it is. And in fact, I read a quote from one police department said, the post that asks you what your first grade teacher, who your childhood best friend, your first car, the place you were born, your favorite place, first pet, those are the questions asked when setting up a count of security questions. You are giving the answers out to your security questions without realizing it. And
people
like,
deserve all the bad things.
Right. Facebook's not stealing your data. You're willingly giving it to Facebook to find out what Hogwarts house you're in. Right?
Yeah. How do you figure this out? By the way, I would most likely be Iron Man if I was an Avenger, according to this quiz.
Only because your facial hair and your massive ego.
I'm more of a Bruce Banner type.
Yeah, and I'm a Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I think I'd be a. I think I'm Loki.
Yes.
You're very Loki. Yeah. I think I'm more of like a Thor. Like
I think I'm a Bruce Banner.
Like drunk Thor, like the.
I'm like one of those nameless aliens that gets. The shit kicked
killed immediately. Yeah,
the Kreks or whatever they're called. Yeah,
that
Krill.
Skreksis, Krill. Oh yeah. What am I thinking? Skeksis. Oh, I was thinking Dark Crystal.
The Gex. I don't know. Anyway, what are we talking about?
Okay,
we're off the rails already.
I'm Slytherin.
This is it. So that's an example of like how social
you do a
media
Harry Potter quiz and you just get it just says that you're canceled for doing a Harry Potter quiz at the end. You're like, and the house you're in is canceled because you did a Harry Potter quiz and she's transphobe. Get out of here.
Get the fuck out.
So there's also some other things beside like these kind of targeted hacker type things that go on that try to get at somebody's account to do a phishing type attack. There's been some more notorious things that have happened in social media that were like very, very specific and very, very sophisticated. Hmm. So, one of the ones that like most people don't know about is Pokemon Go. Do you guys remember Pokemon Go?
I played it, yeah.
The polls, yeah.
Oh, dude, I was playing that. 2000. Yeah. That was the summer before the election, 2016.
Yep. It was. Hey, that's Pokemon
so simple
Go,
then.
Go to
go
the polls.
To the polls. That's Pokemon Go, never go not back home because you did not get elected. Ooh, that's tough.
Yeah, I mean... It was a tough. Man, that might have caught.
It's gonna be even tougher when he wins again.
Oh no!
Jesus Christ!
R.I.P.
Well, Pokemon Go was a this game that you play where you know you get this app, you try to go find these Pokemons. Well, it turns out that the whole thing was just a massive data collection scheme, right?
Yeah, it's location. It's just you could all of a sudden be able to track people's locations.
Well, like that was the least of it. Like it turned out that they were doing way, way more. They were just harvesting massive
data
amounts of data.
Wait, so it's more than me just letting them know I'm Team Instinct?
Yeah. I know what that means.
That game was so fun.
It was fun. Team Instinct, Yellow, what's up?
I was just going around being like, did you do it in a car? Because that's peak recklessness. Me and my friends were just driving around like neighborhoods, all staring at our phones.
No, Gina would drop me off at Morris Square.
Just run over a kid.
Gina would drop me off 10 minutes early for work, and I'd go to the square on the way to
You know, I don't know the game, but I do know I never played.
It wasn't even
but
a game. You just showed up to a place.
And just got
And
got
essentially you flicked your finger, and then it would roll a digital dice behind the scenes, and then you would decide whether or not you'd catch it. And that was it.
It was more than that, Sam. It was about community. I met so many interesting people from everywhere.
Do you know that there were Pokemon walkers? There were Pokemon. There are people in New York City that were Pokemon walker. Was that? Is that
Dude, there's a picture on Reddit that always makes the rounds of a dude in China, and he's got a bicycle, and he has 100 phones on the handlebars. He built a rig, and he would drive around town. People would pay him to collect Pokemon.
That's insanity. Well, while he's collecting that, the company that made it,
50,000 in phones destroyed.
The company that made that,
Niantic,
right? That Niantic, they were just harvesting data, in Europe, the rules, the GDPR rules, and the privacy regulation rules in Europe are much more consumer friendly than they are here, and so people put in like a GDPR request. And said, what have you gotten, right? And this is a quote here, man. The files we received contain detailed information about the lives of these players. Here it comes. The number of calories they burned during a given session, the distance traveled, the promotions they engaged with. Crucially, each request also contained a large file of timestamp, location data, latitudes, and longitudes. They analyzed more than 25,000 location records voluntarily shared with us by 10 players of Niantic Games. On average, Niantic kept 3 location records per minute of gameplay.
Whoa.
For one player, Niantic had at least one location record taken during nearly every hour of the day, meaning that they were collecting data and sharing it even when the person wasn't playing the game.
This was prior to a lot of the stuff in iOS and Android where they would you'd have more granularity over how location sharing would be, because at that time it was binary. It was on or off. It's
like on or off.
Can you share your location through this app or can you not? So you would share it and you wouldn't realize that this app is still running, so it would just be tracking where you were at any given moment.
Right. And so I think what Pokemon Go really proved to developers was that if you give people something that they want, which is like these fake digital monsters, people will basically, just like on Facebook, they'll give you all the data that you want. And so this became an interesting idea for solving a major problem that was going on. And it came out in around 2015 when the company Snapchat acquired a Ukrainian company called Luxury. You guys know anything? You guys know what I'm talking about? Luxury?
Never heard of that.
Is this isn't Face App. I'm sure we're going to get to that at some point.
Yeah, that's it. So Luxury had a Face App.
Oh,
Snapchat bought it for $166 million, very low key, from a Ukrainian company founded by a guy named Viktor Shaburov.
Right.
And what they did when they bought that is it had all of Snapchat's nifty kind of like features, the face swaps and the projectile and make you a cat, all these sorts of things. And so people on Snapchat began like just taking pictures of their face and using all these features and all these filters and everything. And that application allowed Snapchat to build what essentially is the most sophisticated advanced facial recognition database in the world.
Right.
And what was interesting is at the same time that they were building this, another organization was trying to solve the problem of facial recognition data. Mm-hmm. And they had a program called Next Generation Identification System. Any guesses as to who that was?
Facebook. CIA.
Russia.
FBI and CIA.
Oh, shit.
So they were trying to figure out is how they could build an application that would take mugshots of people
and age them up or down.
Age them up or down, because that was the problem. Not up or down,
we arrested this baby.
Yeah.
So like, yeah. So
we arrested the guy that looked like you if you were a baby.
Yeah. You're like, well, yeah. Well. but it's like an interesting
pulling kids out of fucking daycare. I guess it would work in reverse if you found the guy and you only had a mugshot from then. and you wanted to age a picture of the guy now down to the mugshot.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess you could do that. Like,
yeah.
Well, yeah, right. So what
it just puts a bonnet on your head. You're like, it's like scanning, yeah. And it just puts a binky in the person's mouth in the picture. You're like, this is what he would have looked like then.
As a baby.
So like the next generation identification system was what they came, they were talking about, like, basically what's the problem. Like, we have all these mugshots. We have photographs of criminals, but we can't find them. Although we have access to so many images of faces.
Right.
But we can't find them. So how do we create a system where we can match up images? And they say, well, that's a huge problem. And they're like, well, okay, what's the problem? It's like, well, the problem is that privacy, the human face, privacy concerns were out the window.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think a lot of these places were trying to figure out how to do it without getting the photos from a source.
You're right about that. I'm saying the government
They were trying to figure out how to violate your privacy without doing it in a way where they would catch legal action.
Yeah, they wanted you to scroll down through 10 pages and click accept.
They wanted they wanted the pictures to be given over. They didn't want to be caught in a situation where, like, hey, we created a backdoor into Facebook, or like we were downloading pictures illegally and scrubbing the internet. Which that's a thing we'll talk about later. Yeah.
So they said, you know, they were like, the problem with digital face recognition right now is that we have a picture, but the human face is incredibly pliable. Like it ages, beard, you know, like gaining weight, losing weight, all these sorts of things. I mean, I've heard people that are like, I gained so much weight, my phone doesn't even unlock on my face anymore.
Dude,
right.
Which is crazy. Cause then you would have had to done that in like overnight because the phone's,
it would go with you.
Yeah. At least on the iPhone, it's constantly.
So it updates every day. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's through machine learning. I don't know if we're going to get to that. But that was the big.
Well, this is right. Well, this is what the next generation identification system was like. Well, we could use machine learning to match faces as they change on a daily basis. But what we need is like the most massive database of faces. Hmm. Right. It's, you know, what's really similar to, I don't know if you guys remember this, and Sam, you probably were too young to remember this, is that before Google Voice, we all know what it is now. But back in the day, Google had a 411 like system. You could dial a number, 1-800 like Google, and you could ask them anything.
GOGL.
Okay, I was gonna say that's a long.
You could ask them anything, and they and you would get a live person. It was automated, and then someone might come on and answer the question, and then it just disappeared. And people were like, "Why the hell did you do that?" And they were like, what we wanted voice samples. We wanted people to ask questions so we could just record the human voice, and then we could use machine learning to basically recognize all vocal intonation and patterns.
Yeah, that was the key to unlocking a lot of this stuff, was like Siri and like all these voice activated things. Once they figured out how to apply machine learning to this, they were able to essentially make them – that was the only way to make them work better, was that like you could just constantly be taking the inputs being put into it, and then it would process it. It would become better at learning the way people talk. Yeah. So then once they were able to crack that and have like the algorithm behind Siri and Google Voice and Amazon Alexa apply machine learning principles to this, you create this thing. I mean, it like kind of sounds like Skynet, sort of like this like self-aware thing, but it's like this thing that's constantly improving itself. Yeah. It's like, okay.
That's right.
It's like, because every time you do a Siri request and it senses that you're repeating yourself because it's not working, and then it couches, and what it's doing is that it's like, so you go, hey, so I don't want to say because my phone will go off, but like, hey, iPhone, search Apple online, and it says like, and it's like, and then it goes, say you said search Apple, bon bon, and you're like, no, and then you say it again, and then it finally gets it right, and then it'll take all that whole chunk and feed that into the algorithm and say, hey, we thought we heard this, but what he actually said was this. And then now it won't make that mistake again.
Right.
Right. That's how it learns. Better. That's what machine learning ultimately is.
That's why
is.
Siri sucked at the beginning.
Yeah. And it gets better.
And now it's better now because it's had millions upon millions of samples sent to it.
And so my Siri bit will always be evergreen. Hilarious.
So Snapchat figures out a way by buying this company from a Ukrainian company that's extremely suspicious. I don't know. Right. I mean, Viktor Shabarov is incredibly suspicious.
Is this FaceApp? Is this the FaceApp though? Because I remember FaceApp was the one that was the one, the Russian one, which that was going around like a year ago, where everybody was
same stuff. It's the same technology. Stuff,
but this was the Russian one where people were like, you take a picture of it, and this one was even more nefarious because you would take a picture of it and it would upload it to a server where then it would do the machine learning remotely. Like at least iPhone, a lot of the machine learning is done. There's machine learning that's done on device because the newer iPhones have.
Well, it's done on the operating system.
So they do it. They'll do it on device, right. Or if it is off device, it'll send it anonymized, so it won't be like it won't have any sort of link. It won't be like Amazon voice clip. It'll just be it'll come up with a random notifier name of like A6409 clip, and yeah, but with like the FaceApp stuff, people were just in mass taking pictures of their face and then uploading it to the cloud, which was this Russian server where it would process it through, and not only were you helping them train their server's ability to age photos up and down, you were also providing them with free pictures of yourself. Plus, yeah. I mean, they were probably scraping the data from like your contact information and all that stuff. So like now they have like Sam Azani in New York picture this date. And now they have all this info.
I tried to fool them. I fucking drew a face on my penis. And then I was like, make this thing look like it did when it was 18. And then
they just made it small.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Shrank it.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, it'd be funny. You put your penis into the FaceApp thing and you're like, I would like to see what it looked like young. And it's just really small.
Yeah. And then you get arrested for porn, child porn.
You have a job. Yeah. I swear it's a FaceApp.
I made
picture.
It 18.
This is my dick.
Picture I made today. They FaceApped it down.
Yeah. They look, I got an 80-year-old one next to it. And they're like, what is your deal?
I don't want to give this idea away because I feel like it's not good. But I guess essentially, if you were like a pedophile, you could take adult porn stars.
You know what? No, that happened.
No, really?
You can take adult porn star pictures, feed them into the FaceApp in reverse, and then they like age down the face.
That was a real criminal case in New York City. There was a
is that real?
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was on Law and Order. Law and Order did an episode based on it, but it was a real story.
Did he get? I mean, technically, it's legal.
Technically, it was legal, and he got off.
Oh shit!
So basically, it was like they used computer software, and the dude was like so unrepentant. He was just like,
not a real person.
Yeah. Is this Chris D'Elia?
Who? Chris D'Elia. Oh, that comedian?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Oh, no, could you imagine? You get your Harold. You're like the Steve Jobs of pedophiles, though. Like you walk out of a turtleneck. You're like, what if you could beat off the children that weren't actually children? And then a slide.
I mean, isn't that what the barely 18 stuff? I mean, all that.
Oh,
stuff.
Yeah. It's like you're just like lying. But, yeah. It's all
right. Yeah, but it's just all like, yeah, she's 18, but she looks younger. It's like,
right.
Yeah,
that's a porn category that should be canceled. You know?
Yeah, that's
absolutely.
It feels strange.
The people that are into that category, they've never dealt with that. Like, I always think about how stupid young people can be. And I'm like, I'm not attracted to any of that.
I did not like having sex with teenagers when I was a teenager.
There you go. That's what I'm saying.
Quite easily the worst sex you could possibly have.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Teenagers are dumb.
I don't know what the allure is there, but.
Whatever the opposite of pedophile is what Sam is. What is that? An oldophile?
I'm a necrophile. I like them.
The deader the better.
I like them so old they're dead.
Of old age.
What is,
I prefer them dry and dead. The driest.
I do like older women. I mean, dead.
I was in a mummy. Dead. I went to the museum and they had a mummy exhibit, and I had to go to the bathroom. I had to excuse myself.
I don't like him just dead. I like him dead for thousands of years.
I didn't know it was
going to
be this kind of show.
Yeah,
but yeah, I don't know. I do think I might have just revolutionized the world of pedophilia by accident. Listen, don't do this.
It's been done. It's terrible. Yeah, don't.
Someone's had to have thought of it, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's Law and Order. Yeah.
It's a Law and Order episode.
It's a Law and Order episode that was ripped from a real case.
Ripped from the headlines.
That's going to be so fun.
That's what they say, ripped from the headlines.
I would love to write for Law and Order.
What, read the crime read section the of the local and paper and be like, names. Well, I got a good idea, I guess.
Michaelson. And that's it. You just hand in a news article with the name switched.
Yeah. And you know the plumbing company in Raleigh is like, Michael and Son, shit.
Yeah.
You're like, all right, well, this is episode 69 of season 47. Sick. Great. Yeah. All right. Everybody take
a break. Money. Just a couple more things on this face snap thing or Snapchat, whatever it's called, that Victor Shaburov left Luxury when it was sold. He came on to Snap and he became the director of engineering, and then he left in 2018 to start another company called AI Factory, which is both basically a Ukrainian company, but it's incredibly secretive. Their site is offline. There's very little information about their mission. But what they say is their goal is to bring artificial intelligence-based imaging tools into mainstream apps. But what the general consensus is that Viktor Shaburov is trying to make deep fake type media to be simple.
Dude, it's already out.
Yeah, and like he wants to make it as easy as he made the Snapchat face recognition stuff.
See,
right?
That's a thing that needs to be regulated, because I don't understand what the positive uses of deep faking.
There's no positive use.
What is the use case that you demonstrate to people to say, like, this would be good? Like, you know,
well, Sam Jackson looked great in the Avengers movies as a younger Sam Jackson.
But that's not they didn't use deep fakes to do that.
Oh, you're right.
No, if the average human being has the tools on their phone to create CGI like film that is like, just imagine how destructive that would be in terms of our sense of reality.
So for example, like when you talk to people that are making face app, they go, you know, we're collecting this data to help with police surveillance, and we think it's very important that we have an ability to age up and age down photos in order to make sure that the world is a safer place.
I don't agree with that, but I'm saying
at least their argument that they could put forth.
So Tony,
I'm talking about with the deepfake stuff. What is the argument that they put forth that is their noble cause? Because it feels like when you like pitch it to investors, like, listen, we're an evil company and we're trying to do some evil stuff. So if you want to like invest in our evil company, you should. And if not, we're going to make a deep fake of you having sex with a goat. And and then we're going to threaten you. And then you're going to give us the money anyway. So let's just make it easier. That's what I don't get. The
it makes no altruism. Sense.
No, there. I think the only reason that you would want to make deep fakes so readily available to the masses is just to barrage people where no one knows what's going on anymore. To completely destabilize reality.
Reality now. There's no way to know what's real or not.
And the problem with the FBI thing, the next generation identification system, which, by the way, was independently sought out and checked out by this group, and they were like, this is completely illegal. Like, they have so much data on so many people that didn't realize that their faces were being captured and being used to create this application. Snapchat said, look, we are able to recognize faces. We don't store the data that would allow us to recognize a specific face. And people are like, well, what do you mean we don't store it? Does that mean that you give it to someone else? And they're like, we can't say.
What?
Like, so we don't store the data.
We don't have the data. What do
we
you
don't want? Have the data. Yeah, we get no rid data. Of the data.
We don't have the data right now.
Yeah. Right. It's not in our hands.
What's the question?
How do you even hold data?
I don't have data. Was there data? I don't know. Stop asking me. We put a new filter on. It'll put a halo around your head.
Yeah.
You look like a dog. You look like a dog. Stop asking questions.
Look at that long tongue. If you blink, it'll lick.
Look. You know, and I hadn't really thought of that.
What do you want from me?
But you add the deep fake stuff in with this facial recognition, and then you start to see where it's really nefarious in the sense that you're like, hey guys, the cops just killed a guy, and they totally murdered a dude for no reason. They're like, give me a deep fake quick. And it's like, and then all of a sudden they're like,
put a guilty person,
yeah, just deep fake a body camera. What images do you have of this guy? Age it, do. All right, have him running out, have him with a gun shooting, and all of a sudden it's like, yeah, well, look,
The thing about like the deep fake is like, it's harder, like, it doesn't work like that way. Like, you still, like, the way the deep fake technology works now is that you can replace people's faces.
Right.
It's like you can't like CGI. I mean, you could ostensibly, but like, there's no fast way to CGI, like, to create a picture perfect CGI image.
Well, like, that's
rapidly. Will be.
But that's where we end up. That's where we end up.
That's where we end up. But right now, but the deep.
No, that's what I'm saying. This pod is ending up where this is possible.
Right, the deep fake thing right now, as it stands, is like you would have somebody who's good at like the example they do online all the time is like someone who's like already a Tom Cruise impersonator will do like a Tom Cruise impersonation, and then they'll run that video through a deep fake with a bunch of pictures of Tom Cruise, because like that's the way it works, is like you take a source video, and then you take a you feed as many images of the person into the deepfake software as possible, and that's why it only really works with famous people, because you need like it's a ridiculous amount of data, like you need so many pictures being of harvested. This person,
right?
And then it compiles that, and then it like it'll what, okay. essentially what it, all it's doing is it's
analyzing so what would you
each
need
frame of video. Like the way, it, like I mean, I know exactly. I've looked into it. The way it works, I'm trying to take down my enemies. And what you need, well, the way it works is like you take, like it takes like 1,000+ photos of someone. So like if you were gonna do it, you would go and you'd go, okay, I want to make a deep fake of Donald Trump on Donald Trump saying like the speech from Lord of the Rings, Gandalf speech, whatever. I don't know why the fuck you'd do that. You'd go in and you would download as many photos of Donald Trump as possible, and then you'd feed the video in, and then in the first frame of the video you would overlay the elements of the face onto Gandalf's face. You would say, all right, this is where the eyes are, this is where the nose is, and then from there it would take each frame, scan it, interpolate where the elements of the face are on, like a generic face are on the picture of Gandalf, then go to the pictures and then pick a picture that has the closest, like already, like, so like if it's a picture where like Gandalf's looking to the left, it'll find a picture of Donald Trump kind of looking to the left, and then it'll overlay that image on, and it does it frame by frame where it's taking elements of different pictures. And it also, and the better the deepfake thing is, it'll also do ones where it's like emulating the lighting. Like,
okay, so this well, is here's a, so
he's
here's
in shadow,
a good,
here's a picture of Donald Trump.
Here's
shadow.
A noble use of the deepfake, all right?
All right.
You take your kind favorite, honest, honestly, you take your favorite porn and you say, I like this porn a lot. I want to be the guy. I want my wife to be the woman in here. And I want to make,
well, she'd have to consent.
Like,
that would be noble.
Right.
Yeah. If your wife and I are like,
I want to create revenge porn.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Well, look, okay. So take what you just said and then let's turn to our final social media application of the day, which is the one that is by far absolutely without a doubt the scariest. And that's TikTok. And Vine, you may remember the company Vine, which went bankrupt.
Would they go bankrupt? I thought it was owned by Twitter, and they just kind of
They did, but they had kind of introduced
a little too early. I think it was like
They introduced short form video. Yeah, right.
So like they take too long to load,
and what TikTok did to short form video is they made editing incredibly simple. So you did like just like Snapchat made it really easy to edit photos and do all this kind of stuff, or maybe Instagram maybe started that. TikTok has made video editing incredibly simple, and you don't need to be an expert to put clips together, add effects, and it's basically Instagram in the midst of the mobile video age, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot
Twitter
of reasons.
Video.
What's that?
It's Twitter for video.
It's Twitter. Okay, that's fine. It's Twitter for video. Now, a couple things that are problematic about TikTok. One is that it's owned by the Chinese government, and by Chinese
has been a champion of civil.
They love human rights. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Well, in fact,
they gave Uyghurs a place to stay.
Yeah. 2017, the Chinese introduced a law.
What? It's a nice place to live.
Well, the law 2017 said any organization and citizen shall quote support and cooperate in national intelligence work.
Look.
Which basically means, as long as TikTok's owned by China,
it's part of
a Chinese company, it's part of the national intelligence work.
Wow.
And Reddit CEO Steve Huffman called TikTok, he said it's flat out spyware.
Right.
Right? He's like, I look at that app as so, this is a quote from Steve Huffman, I look at the app as so fundamentally parasitic that it's always listening. The fingerprint technology they use is truly terrifying, and I could not bring myself to install an app like that on my phone. And one guy who is a reverse engineered the TikTok data application, and he said that it basically TikTok is a data collection service thinly veiled as a social network, right? Mm-hmm. The API is intended to get your information, your contacts, your device. It looks at every other app that you're using, everything network related, your IP, your local IP, your router MAC, anything, your Wi-Fi name, Wi-Fi password, anything, whether or not you're rooted or jailbroken. It is absolutely a data collection service thinly veiled as a social media site. And so much so that like there are the military bans their soldiers from having TikTok on their phones.
Right.
Yeah.
A US
military. Put out some of the best dance videos on that platform. So man.
But think about what we just said is that like the thing about to me that's terrifying about TikTok is what Sam just said about deepfakes, right? Is that with TikToks, if for anybody who is not familiar with TikTok, I'm only familiar with it through my friends. I mean, through my children.
You can admit you have a TikTok.
I don't. And I wouldn't after what I've read. Is that like you might have like a something would go viral for the day, and it's like everybody doing the same thing, like some kind of like they're all lip syncing the same 10 seconds, they're all doing right. The same dance. And so what you're doing is you're getting a lot of people
doing the same upload
the exact same things, mouthing the same exact words, right? And in some sense, you're getting people to give you what you need in terms to help right. add to your ability to create these sort of realistic deep fakes.
Machine learning. You're like, hey, I need,
right. yes.
we need examples of people moving their bodies in a certain way. Let's yes. make a new dance craze. A million exactly. people do it. You feed in the algorithm and you're like, now the algorithm is better at identifying certain movements in a video. Same thing with the face. It's like, okay, yeah. this person, like they're all lip syncing the same song. We know exactly what the words are because it's a song. So now we have thousands upon thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of samples of that. Like it's like if you're trying to do mass amounts of machine learning, there's no better way to do it. That the smartest is you create some sort of. I don't think it's as nefarious as like there's somebody in a lab in China being like, all right, let's make a dance craze that does such and such. What I do think it is, there's people looking through the platform and they go, okay, this video has elements of things that we would like to analyze. Let's float this one up in the algorithm. Yep. Cause like, I mean, that's essentially how all of these social media platforms work is like, everybody's like the algorithm's so obtuse. It's like, it's so obtuse because it's being curated and they don't want to admit it. There's fingers on the scale, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. There's fingers on the scale of what goes up and what goes down. Just as much as there's things shadow banned, there's things that are shadow uplifted. There's like right. shadow promoted. Right. There are things that they specifically yeah. go through and they go, this is the kind of content we want floated up. And they don't want to admit that because it kind of runs counter to the entire idea of the platform. It's like,
right.
here's this democratic platform where if you have good content, you can rise to the top. If you have bad content, it won't. And that's why nobody follows me on Twitter. My tweets are fucking yeah. fire.
I know. I have twice as many followers as you do and I don't even tweet. I'm what out the fuck is that
every
about?
Every day, that's fighting hilarious. A good fight.
I don't tweet it.
Fuego, but yeah. I haven't posted.
You know what? You know what else?
I haven't
is...
posted a picture of my titties. So I'm fucked.
Here's also true of TikTok. Is that we could test it? Because I don't have a TikTok account. Do you guys have TikToks?
Well, no,
I have an account.
Well, Shane, if what they say is when you first join TikTok, the first roughly 10, 12 TikToks that you do. Mm-hmm. get highly promoted by their
They'll
algorithm.
Float them up.
Oh.
That way people see them, you get a lot of likes, you get a lot of ads, people
you
network
the
really
platform.
Quickly. And then then you're like addicted to it. And then
chasing the dragon.
That's exactly right. You start chasing the dragon trying to get that again. Right. Now one person said that other thing that people don't realize is that the company that owns TikTok is in the midst of creating what they call a hireability index, which is terrifying and scary. And they're basically saying that with what they're harvesting from TikTok and advanced artificial technology and machine learning, they can connect the web of systems with the most comprehensive information on each of us. And basically a company can say, we want to know the hireability of this guy. And they could talk about your mental relatives. I mean, the mental health of your relatives for the past 60 years because of what they've collected. They can talk about your physical health. Yeah. They can take your political and social views. They can do all these sort of things that you, because of every information they've gathered, and they can say, based on our advanced technology and our algorithm, this person scores really high on your hireability index or really low on your hireability index. And they don't realize that my children, kids today, they're essentially building this index out for themselves that will be used to judge them in the future as to whether or not they should have a job.
See, you should be wary of any company. You should be wary of any product, social media product that comes out of China, the same country that is actively pushing this social credit score bullshit.
Oh, yeah. That shit's insane.
The problem with TikTok is that it's this constant game of cat and mouse between the platform holders, like iPhone, Android, et cetera. I mean, it's really just iPhone and Android, of locking down privacy concern, like locking down the, like making sure privacy concerns are front facing to the user. And then these apps trying to figure out ways around it. A perfect example is that Apple just released the developer version of the latest iPhone software. On that was even more granular controls over the type of data you're sharing with these applications. So one feature they added was now the iPhone will whenever the microphone is accessed and whenever the video camera is accessed, a light will show in the an indicator light will show up in the status bar. That's like a new thing they added. Another thing they added was this ability to know when an application accesses your clipboard, which seems like a weird thing that apps would be doing anyway, unless you asked. If you're not sure what a clipboard is.
Universal clipboard.
Yeah, the clipboard essentially is when you copy and paste something. It's where it's saved on your device. Immediately, as developers put this new software on their phones, everybody's getting these messages. TikTok is accessing your clipboard. TikTok is accessing your clipboard. So here's this app that was accessing this data that nobody knew, nobody even allowed it to access because there was no control over it. And here it is, it's accessing it on everybody's devices. So you have to imagine, what are the things that it's accessing on your device without your knowledge or without the platform holders giving you access to, you know, stop them from doing? And
have they been accessing my wife?
They've been accessing our wives.
Well, but one thing to add to what Sam said, because Forbes had an article just a couple of days ago that Apple caught TikTok secretly spying on their users, and
that's what I'm talking about.
And what the one thing that Sam said that I want to just add a little wrinkle to, because I don't use an iPhone like you guys do, but the iPhone's universal clipboard goes beyond their phone.
Yeah, it syncs up with your computer, which is super helpful.
Except when TikTok is on your phone and you have a document with all your passwords in it and you copy it and paste it to log into the website, and now TikTok has access to your passwords from using your Mac.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's not so much what the data is. It's just like it's just more of like, well, what? Explain to me how the user experience is enhanced by you clandestinely copying information off of my clipboard.
And TikTok said that's not our fault. They said that's a fault of the Mac operating system. Yeah. But here's the thing, and this is and look, this is a racist statement, so I will acknowledge that up front. But as long as TikTok is a Chinese run company,
I don't think this is racist. I don't think you're saying Chinese people are bad. I think
it's more of a communist government. Is bad.
Well, yeah. I will.
Government is bad. I think.
Well, I will acknowledge that there is a level of racism to what I'm saying, which is essentially, as long as it's owned by Chinese, I don't trust what they say. That's just. They don't trust.
Well, you can say that with any communist
like Chinese American
regime.
Like if you were saying that Chinese, like.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like it because I don't like the way their face is shaped.
No, I appreciate your. I appreciate you qualifying disclaimer. That, but yeah, but I don't think. Yeah. I think it's understandable.
That is a hilarious bad take to have someone to have. Where you're like, I don't think the Chinese government. And they're like, whoa,
you hate Chinese
racist.
People?
You hate Chinese governments? You hate the government because it's Chinese?
I think it's fair to say that. The Chinese, I mean, Russians as well. They're just.
I will be using this audio to feed into the. Did you guys?
This is on TikTok.
This is a long time ago, maybe a couple of years ago, where Adobe demonstrated what they were calling Photoshop for audio.
Mm-hmm.
You remember this? Where they basically, you could feed in Which is like, obviously, immediately, why would you create this? But I guess like the same argument was like people could have thought about this with Photoshop. Like you could Photoshop any photo and it creates this situation where like you could Photoshop me like high-fiving Hitler and you're like, this is bad. We shouldn't give people this. But what they essentially did was there was this thing that they were trying to build into the Adobe suite, which allowed people to analyze a clip of audio from somebody. So you need like a certain amount of time, like of them saying stuff or like you'd have to train it in some way. And then it could just generate speech based on like typing it. So it's
crazy.
Which if only there was like some sort of repository of like 70 plus hours of me speaking.
I know, right?
Where someone could feed that into an algorithm.
And then they listen to it. They're like, oh, he canceled himself a long time ago. We don't need to do anything.
Yeah, Everything we type
comments by Sam Azani saying the R word?
Come up the he's better at creatively coming up with bad stuff that out of his own mouth. I think we're okay.
And then they'll like praise when they finally have a robot that can do what you do.
It's just like someone plays the clip to their boss, like, this is great. How did you guys do that? Oh, we haven't. This is just,
just Sam.
This is just a clip we were going to put into the algorithm and get it going. All right. Oh, okay. Well, let us know. You're like, we can just use this.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
I'm not concerned about it really because I've put so much stuff. I've done,
So
we'll go back to the old episodes.
Yeah,
I think
last week's.
We should get into final thoughts on this because, and there's probably more we could come back and do a deeper dive on some of this stuff. But
I guess we have to talk about. So what do we think's going on with TikTok? I mean,
yeah, what I mean,
because it's like pretty obvious.
This is cut and dry, man.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of
it's the lizard.
It's kind of it. It's. What do you think's behind?
What do I think the end game is?
Yeah, that's our final thought. What do you think the end game for this is? Yeah.
Okay. I think right now there's like a right now I think one of the biggest things facing us geopolitically is this move towards authoritarianism or democracy. I think there's like this kind of contention between the two. And I'm not trying to create some false dichotomy between the United States and China, because there are definitely authoritarian things happening in the United States. I don't think that's like, I'm not saying it's democracy in the U.S. on one side and China authoritarianism on the other side. I think there's just a drift in all governments right now towards this. I think all governments are realizing the more people there are, the more data and autonomy they have through technology, the harder it is to make good on this promise of freedom of X, Y, and Z, because it's just too, there's a difference between freedom of speech when it was you in your town square versus you going on Twitter and being able to say what you want. This is from the perspective of somebody who, if I was trying to control the globe, you know what I'm saying?
Also, or a Facebook group.
Right. Everybody, everybody who, like when you, it's the same thing with like the Second Amendment, where you go, the militias, and they're thinking of it in the technology of their times. They're thinking of muskets. Right. They're thinking of that kind of shit. They're not thinking of machine guns. They're not thinking of that. So when people were thinking of freedom of speech, they were thinking of talking to your peers and people they didn't meet.
Standing on the corner.
Right.
Yeah. They weren't thinking, no one fathomed that a random person can tweet something and it would round the globe. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Like, I think that's a good thing.
Right.
I think it's a complicated thing. I think it's, you have to figure out and how to navigate it. But I think it's because it's complicated and because it's messy, it's easier to just be like, why don't we just
shut it down?
Shut all that shit down. Or make them think
that they have free speech and control it.
Well, that's the other thing. It's a little bit easier to just, you know, it's the boiling the frog thing. It's easier to just kind of slowly take things from people than it is to just be like, that's it. You can't do this. You can't do that. It's easier, like, if you could trick people into giving up their rights, which you're doing through TikTok and all these apps, you're giving up privacy. Every new application you put on your phone chips away a little bit of your own personal privacy, and people are giving it away. And it's like, you know, you can make the argument that people aren't informed enough to know that that's happening to them, and these companies are, you know, deliberately being obfuscating that. And you might be not wrong in that argument, but the fact of the matter is people are signing away their own privacy. What the end game of that is, I think you move towards an authoritarian state where you have more than enough information to control you it becomes, you know, I mean, you know what everybody does. You can control anybody. You said this, then you were here. There's inherent issue in that. Like, there's no more privacy. There's no more engaging in thoughts that are counter to what the mainstream thought process is. And once you can kind of single people out in that way, because you don't even need to like throw people in jail. If you just, what you do is you go, this person has a thought process that we don't like, is counter to what we're trying to promote. And let's put our finger on the scale, and their tweets don't really show up that much anymore. Their Instagram posts don't really show up that much anymore.
I went to a Louis C.K. concert.
Right. We're going to float them down in the Facebook algorithm. Yeah. We're going to float them down.
Right.
And that's a problem. And it's because these applications kind of exist in this gray area. We haven't decided as a society, are these public forums that need to be treated as such, or are these what companies don't want to admit they are, their products? And as a product, they can just do as they please, but it's a product masquerading as a public forum. What the end game of this is, I don't know. You can't even imagine where technology is going. So it's hard to even imagine what they're planning to do with this stuff. I would be weary of anything that is collecting massive amounts of data on such a large scale and then can't really articulate why they're doing it and how it's going to appreciably benefit your life.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of this stuff, they may not even have plans, but they're like, I know one day we'll come up with an idea.
Just having this data is important.
It costs nothing for storage. Let's just fucking get it all. And then at some point the government will hit us up and say, you know what, we're looking for this, we're looking for shapeshifters. Are there any like weird videos you guys have?
Well, we touched on this briefly, and then I'll fucking stop because I talked, my final thoughts were long.
No, that's fine.
We talked about this in the contact tracing stuff with COVID, where people were kind of weirded out by how fast these software solutions for contact tracing were proposed and how quickly and how full formed they seemed to be. And it turned out under closer inspection that a lot of these solutions existed, and they were products that were being pushed forward to solve different issues. The one that they were mainly being pushed forward was for this idea of stopping school shootings. It was like this using contact tracing information to kind of trace somebody's whereabouts through the internet. So instead of tracing them through a physical space, they were tracing them through a constructed internet space, and then using that to find out essentially the same idea. Where are they getting infected with?
Right.
People that go to these five different message boards.
Well, it's like anybody that marks themselves safe on Facebook. It's like,
exactly.
I'm safe from this event. Well, we know everything.
Well, it's like this person, we know this guy's radicalized, and he goes on this forum and this website, and he talks to these people. Where do those people go? They go here, and they talk to those people. We need to keep an eye on all these people. And these were applications that were being developed and ideas that were being floated prior. And then you have coronavirus come by, and then these people that are advocates of this greater surveillance of people turned around and like, oh, we can kind of push this into the mainstream now.
Yeah.
Hey, nobody wants to get sick. Why don't we
do your part? It's patriotic.
Yeah. Yeah, I think your final thought is similar to mine in that I think that the great authoritarian regimes that still exist in our world, Russia and China, are exploiting what ultimately is a real weakness of democracy. It's a weakness that's built into our democracy. Mm-hmm. And you see it in the coronavirus as well, which is like, if you're authoritarian government, you just say, look, we're coming in and everybody's getting this. We're locking you down for 14 or 28 days. And then we're going to come and we're going to bring the military in. We're going to take everybody's temperature, and anybody that's over a certain degree is going to get shot to death. And that's the end of the virus. And like, we can't in America, like, we simply can't do that. Like, we, like, as much as you want to say everyone wear the mask, like, there are going to be people that are like, I'm not going to wear a damn mask, and you're going to have to, you know, kill me. And that's just the nature of our the way that we interpret freedom in this country.
It's a social contract that we all signed when we set this up. Is like, we're a country that was built on the skepticism of the federal government. Right. So just by the, so it's like, misguided in this particular instance to be like, I don't want to put a mask on. Like, cause, but that skepticism, it's not a bug. It's a feature of the United States.
That's right. It's not right. That's what it is.
The government tells you to do something, and there, in order for the United States to function healthily, normally, is there needs to be a pocket of people that go, why do they want us to do that?
Right.
Right.
Now, and the same is true with,
you would hope, I would say with this, you would hope that they would go, well, science says you'll die.
Right.
You know, they go, oh, you know what? We appreciate science.
Yeah, but what's a science?
Exactly. And look, and if you have a country like Russia or China and you say, look, we control the internet, we control what information's out there, we control what people can put on their social media page and what people consider truth. Well, we don't do that in this country. And the result
we don't trust the state.
Yeah. And so you're, by exploiting that fact, what these countries have done, and they've literally bombarded us with deep fakes and all these social media apps and compromised our data and our privacy, is that nobody knows what to believe anymore.
Right.
Like, nobody does. And that destabilizes our country. It's made people question it. And that's weakened what ultimately was our country's dominance in the world by just sort of corrupting it from the inside. And that's what I genuinely think is the end goal of all this.
Yeah. So, you think it's just to destabilize?
Destabilize the United States just as a way to weaken. I mean, either best case scenario, they drive us into civil war.
Yeah.
I think you're probably right. I think what happened, I think with the advent of like the nuclear age, a lot of these countries realized that direct conflict is no longer a viable means to destroy your enemy. There's too much, there's too much collateral damage on the table. So it becomes a situation like where you create the nuclear weapons almost created like the perfect deterrent from physical conflict, but then it created this whole new type of warfare of like social warfare.
It's a digital proxy war is basically what it is. It's like, we're fighting a war. We're hiring companies are doing our job for us.
It's like Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yeah, exactly. We're solid snakes.
Well, Shane, you got to...
I'm a solid snake.
Slytherin. Yeah, so my thing is, I think that, like, obviously, I think the end goal in terms of what you said, I think is legit in terms of what, like, Russia wants to do. It's no different than how, like, we had, like, the Taliban fighting against the Russians in Afghanistan. We hired them to destabilize the region so Russia would go bankrupt. And then they did the same thing. They're doing the same thing to us with
it technology. It is hilarious how much of that stuff we did. And they're like, where did they get this idea?
It's like, those assholes. Like, oh, no, we came up with it first. But I think that, like, on a more local...
do it to us.
You jerks. On a more local level, I think that, I think it's hard for people to understand or even fathom that, like, globally it affects them. Obviously, it all does, because to them it's like a proxy war. Yeah, it doesn't affect me. I still go to my job and I still do these things. But if you think about what's currently happening, there's things like this in place now in Raleigh and cities across the country that are the exact same thing, just a less data futuristic way of doing it. So every club in downtown Raleigh, the bouncers use an iPad with an app. So you show up at the club. If you get kicked out of the club, they mark you. They take a picture of your ID. They mark you down. If you fuck up at that club and you try to go to another club, it's already in the system. And you're like, you got kicked out. You're done with downtown. You can't ever go out again. So, like, these are ways to control populations. And if you think about who they use those on, obviously they use those against minorities. They use those against disenfranchised people. They just want to stay in power. So they're finding ways to keep people out of their space. And I think that TikTok and the technology that comes from it is honestly just a way for people in power to find another way to, you know, compartmentalize and segregate people. And then in the larger aspect of it, use this technology to divide us and make us fight against each other, which we're clearly seeing now on Facebook and every other platform. So it's honestly, I think people make money and they get power from dissent in the world.
Right.
I mean, look at the stock market. What the fuck's that? Like, the world's on fire and people are making money hand over fist. And it's just like, I think the end goal is just to keep people in power.
The stock market is that money seems to be generated by friction. The more that money rubs against itself, the more money comes out. What I've learned.
Yeah.
It doesn't quite make sense because no one's making new things. It's just the money yep. just moved around a lot, and in doing that's so, right. it multiplied.
Exactly. But, yeah, yeah.
Hey, what do I know?
It's like Gremlins. Don't get it wet. Yeah. Start it on fire.
Yeah. That's well, fine. Look, man, that's our show.
So yeah, if you got any cool Tic Tacs you want to send us, yeah. go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not putting that on. I took it off my kid's phone. I was like, you guys are done with this.
But he's still playing Fortnite, which is probably a different form.
Probably just another way to do the same shit.
That's just teaching these kids how to be good at piloting human drones.
It's like, what am I going to do with all these wooden pallets?
The last Starfighter.
We're like 5 years away from them being like, you've heard about aerial drones. Now introducing the foot soldier drone.
Yeah, that's those, that's that robot company in Boston. You know,
Boston. You can buy those now. $70K for that dog.
That's a killer dog.
Could you imagine just hey guys, this is what I bought.
Check out my Boston Dynamic puppy.
The dog park and being like, let's see who wants to fight this fucking titanium beast.
Rinse at another dog at 45 miles an hour.
It like runs through the dog.
It just turns into mist.
Yeah, pink mist.
Knocks the trees down. All right. Well, look, man, this has been a fun. Guys. Yeah, man.
Yeah, it was good. It was a serious one, but I like it. It was good. It was legit.
Yeah. Things are pretty bad out there.
Stay safe.
All right. Well, look, man.
Liking, subscribing, reviewing, sharing.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, make sure you share this on social media.
Well, thanks.
Share it on TikTok.
I am now realizing that a conspiracy-based podcast is almost inherently designed to not get popular.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because none of our fans use social media because they're like lying on us. So they can't share it to people. Yeah. They don't talk to their friends anymore because people don't like to talk to them in person.
We should be releasing these on like VHS.
People that would be sick. It's got to be like radio transmissions. Yeah, like
cassette. Ooh, ham radio?
Oh, yeah, we should get on that. Yeah, we should be ham radio.
Every week it's a new frequency. Like,
yeah, John Ham radio, big ass frequencies.
Yeah.
John Ham, yeah.
Yeah, well, look.
Podcast. It's on the radio. Sometimes you have to go backwards to move forward.
We call it a carousel of sound.
We call it a carousel of bad takes.
Yeah. Canceled, not canceled. Just rewind.
An image frozen in time. Sam putting his foot in his mouth. All right, we got to go.
That was fun.
All right, well, this has been Conspiracy Beer Me. I'm still Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith.
I'm Sam Azani.
Have a great
night. See ya.
Peace.